Especially if you're just looking at it through your own eyes. Oh, praise God. You know, another little thing I'll throw in here real quick. This week I was having a little discussion with the Lord, you know, as most of us do. And I just said, Lord, you know, I said, what is the deal? I said, I know you've put it in my heart to preach. You've told me. And he didn't come down right down and speak into my spirit and say, Art, you need to do this. He spoke to me through another minister, Andrew Womack, as a matter of fact. And in that, Andrew was saying, he said, my first meeting, he said, boy, I was all pumped and ready to preach to what, 1,000? And he said, and I go out there, and he said, there's 9 people. He said, there were 9 people. He said, Lord, where's the people at? He said, you preach to these 9 just like you would 1,000. He said, and you'll preach before 1,000. And I was like, Lord, you know, it's been almost 10 years. Now, we are no longer the smallest church. We are one of the youngest with one of the larger congregations, because some of the oldest churches in this community, their congregations are slim and they're dying. And I don't mean just spiritually, I mean physically. Congregations are dying off. And so anyhow, and I said, so Lord, what about us? What, you know, what is there about us? And the Lord used one of the most mundane thing. Well, I wouldn't say it was mundane, but it was just one of the most off-the-wall things that he could have ever used to speak to me. It was an ad in the FFA magazine. I looked at that and I said, of all the ads, I'm going to cut it out. And I wish I would have cut it out now. Because as I read it, I said, Lord, that is it. That's why. Because I'm like, Lord, people come and then they leave. We just had a couple left. They left before I got to preach. Thank you. But that's okay. As Pat said, you got to be young here. If you're wanting old, dead, dry, dusty religion, you're not going to find it here. And it's not the first time. Okay, so we will not be offended at them. I bless them now in Jesus' name and pray that they find a home. But as I, like, Lord, is there something I can do? Is there something I need to be doing? Do I need to tone it down? Do I need to act a little more mature? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? You know, you start looking at yourself, okay? You start looking, what did I do? What am I doing wrong? And I started reading this ad. By the way, it was a Marine Corps ad. Of all the places to find an ad to recruit people, an FFA magazine, okay? And it said, if it were any easier, it would not be the Marines. He said, and if you think you have what it takes to be one of the few. Now, I know that sounds cocky and people get tired of hearing, but I want to let you know, if you're here, hello, you've got what it takes. If you can hold on, I know sometimes it gets a little bumpy and a little rough. Don't you think it gets a little bumpy and rough at the handlebars too? It's not just the passengers on the bike that get bounced around, it's the guy that's driving it. And you just learn to hold on. And you got to know when to throttle up and when to throttle down. And so the Lord just told me, he started really stirring. He's been stirring this in me, but I kept fighting it. And then the other day I just sat down and I read that. And I was like, wow, you just spoke volumes to me, Lord. Because this is you. It's not me. It's you. Now we could lower the standards. We could say, oh, well, we're not going to have progressive praise and worship. We're not going to pray in tongues. Listen, if you're offended at praying in tongues, heaven's going to be mighty uncomfortable for you. So you might want to get used to it. Because there's going to be all kinds of people speaking languages you don't know. You mean you're going to be praying in tongues? Well, not. I don't believe that we're going to need tongues in heaven. Okay? It says, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is imperfect will pass away. We don't understand tongues, so therefore that makes it imperfect. But when that which is perfect, love, then those things will pass away. So I just really wanted to encourage you today. If you want it any easier, it's not going to be the same. It does not matter what you do or what. I know that some of you are saying, well, I don't feel, listen, you got to understand, the Marine Corps even had its 10 percenters. I know the guys in the military know what I'm talking about here. There's the 10%. We always called them the 10%. Because we spent 90% of the time dealing with the 10%. Because they didn't want to do. So you had to deal, but they were still there. But then you had the 90%, those who followed the rules, those who did their jobs, those who went above and beyond the call of duty to make up for the 10%. You're going to have it all across the board. You're going to have it in any church you go to. And I told you Wednesday night, give me 4 more days. And I'm just asking you for 3 more. Make it to Wednesday. Those of you that were here know what I'm talking about. Anyhow. Well, this morning, there's been... go ahead and open to Luke chapter 18. The Lord just... will, folks, He will not let me get off of the fear of the Lord, which we're going to continue on regardless in some of those areas, but also with justice. Wednesday night, the Lord showed me some other things on justice. And just really, I believe if we get hold of what God is saying and what we see, you know, most of the times people believe when they can see, when I'm trying to show people, boom, this is it. But the Lord has really been, He won't let me off of it. Every time I turn around, I'm hearing. We watched a movie the other day. It was called Jeremiah. It's a Bible series that we found on Netflix. And it's based on the Bible. I actually went in and read Jeremiah. I'm like, okay, where's this at? There it was. I was like, holy smokes. I've read Jeremiah before, but there it was in black and white. And there it was on the screen with Patrick Dempsey playing Jeremiah. And as Jeremiah is crying out, now you, those of you that were here Wednesday night, you remember one of the areas I was starting to get into was about how God said, you shall not oppress the stranger in your land. You can ask Angela. I don't know how many times they said that in that movie. That Jeremiah stood up. He said, you shall not oppress the stranger in your land. And I was like, oh boy. Here's confirmation. I'm going to be preaching out of Jeremiah soon. Because it's a sign, folks, that if we do not pay attention to what has happened, history does repeat itself. If we don't pay attention to what happened, same things will follow suit. You know, as we said the other, as it was Wednesday night, I was talking about how people say, well, if the Lord doesn't move now, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, first off, the Lord's never going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because He's a just God. He came down to weigh out the information. He wanted to know, are these accusations false or are they true? He came down and found them to be true, which I'm not going to get in on that because that's Wednesday night's message. If you ain't figured it out, Sunday and Wednesday are running parallel. Somebody, I was telling somebody the other day, they were talking about these messages on Sunday. I said, well, you might want to try to get a hold of the Wednesday night CDs too, because I said they actually are running hand in hand, even though it's a different message. They're running hand in hand with each other. And so we have to understand God's trying to get something through to us. We can have all the bells and the whistles, and we can have all the programs in the world, but if we don't have the fear of the Lord, we have absolutely nothing. We can have a line of prophets up here every Sunday and pray over you and prophesy over you. That's my version of it. But what, you know what, and I'll tell you right now, this house will be packed and we will need to expand. People do not want the truth. They don't want to know the truth, that it boils back down to, as Miss Piggy would say, moi. It boils right back down to us, that we are responsible. that we are held accountable for our decisions. And so the Lord, like I said, the Lord really has been, won't let me off. I tried to think, okay, Lord, 2 weeks ago I tried, okay, I'm done with talking about justice. Anybody, y'all were here that night. I couldn't go forth. I could not go forth. And then God said, reminded me, he said, you weren't done. Oh, that explains why I had a major brain cramp. I mean, you know, when you get a cramp in your leg, it quits working. Well, when your brain has a cramp, it quits working. And I couldn't force anything out. And boy, is it warm up here. But, so anyhow, well, you're in Luke 18. Let's just go there. Verse 2. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Regard means he didn't respect anybody. It's a big problem, folks. Today's society, that is a big, big problem. It's always been a big problem. But here it is. And there's people in the church that are the same way. If you don't have respect for the men and the women of God, trust me, you don't really fear the Lord. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary, or get vengeance for me, avenge me. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. What did the unjust judge say? Well, he said he would get justice for her. No, he said, I do not fear God. He said, I do not fear God, and I have no respect for any man. Now, as a judge, I find that troubling. Because first off, Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So he does not fear the Lord. So where does he set his moral compass by? You got an elected official? Find out how they set their moral compass. What keeps you straight? Everybody's got something. Well, I just go by what I feel is right. Bible also says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. I've been down many roads. This feels right. I'll tell you, I went to Fredericktown the other day. Now, I grew up over in that side of the county and lived over in Knox County, and I ran all of those roads. And I went over there, and there was a detour. They had the road out. They had the road out here, and they had the road out there. I'm like, what is 95's year to break down? So anyhow, I got over there. I thought, well, I'll just drive it until I come to the thing and turn off. Well, sure enough, it was right about where I was guessing it was at, and turned down Phillips Road. And I thought, okay, I'll take this road over here, and it ties into Ridge Road or Salem Road. It'll tie into one of those, and then I'll just jog around the construction site. I got going down through there. Okay, this road's running kind of in a northeastern pattern. I keep following the road around, and in my heart, I'm thinking, okay, now I know I don't have a built-in compass, but I know I just turned completely. I did a 180. I am now facing the direction I just came. And I pull up to a stop sign and I look down at the bottom of the hill. There's a church I'd passed a mile back on 95. Right down there. I could have turned up that road and saved myself all that dirt. Now see, there was a way that seemed right to me, but I didn't remember where that road came out at. I'd only been on it probably one other time. The other ones I'd run a couple times, but that one I'd only been on one time. And I remember now why. Because it brings me right back to where I should have turned before. So then when I got my bearings again, I said, okay, I know where I'm at. I took a right and then another right, and I was exactly on the road that I thought I was going to be on. There's a way that seems right. However, if I'd have had some sort of compass guiding me, we'll use a GPS, even though I have, I've used Pat several times, and I'm like, I'm lost. I'm on the other side of Cleveland. Or I'm why on earth? I'm seeing 71 over there, and they can run 70 miles an hour. I'm over here running 35 on this little side road. But if I'd have, but honestly, if I'd have trusted the comp or the you can ask Angela. It takes a while to trust things like that. Is that what it is? Pat, I will let you know probably about 3 minutes before we're done, so that way you can hit the door running. So, what do we set our moral compass by? What do we use to guide us? Well, I use the sayings of my great-grandpappy. Well, was your great-grandpappy a godly man? Well, no, he wasn't. Do you think those are probably very safe? Because he was probably prejudiced. I'd like to say it's gone from this county, but for crying out loud, what's in our news right now? Man burns cross in Marengo. I'm innocent. Just cut to the chase, dude. You're guilty. All your neighbors dimed you out. I read some of the things talking, the comments on the story, and one person said, it's a bigoted county. I know, I lived there. Well, I know it is too. It's getting less and less because good people are standing up. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I did something last night. I just got this wild, crazy hair to go after last night. I typed in Woodell on Facebook. I quit counting at 30 pages. There are Hispanic Woodells. There are black Woodells. There are redheaded Woodells. There are blonde Woodells. There are brunette Woodells. There are Woodells of every shape, color, and size you can imagine. And I found some godly Woodells besides us. And you know how I've always said, you know, if you're one of those bigots and you probably think, well, I'm pure and all this, I guarantee you got some black in your woodpile somewhere in your family tree. That proved it right there. I mean, there's Woodells in New Jersey. How on earth do hillbillies end up in New Jersey? Miami. Yeah, they got lost. Yeah, the GPS took them there. Maybe that's what, they didn't trust the map or anything. I'm just going to keep going. This don't look like Charleston to me. So what do we set our moral compass by? Jesus was telling us here a little something about this judge. He said, first off, he did not fear God. So that meant he didn't use the word of God as his moral compass on how to make justice or how to institute justice. Nor did he have any respect for any man. Particularly in our society, I don't know how they appointed judges back then, but in our society, they're elected. You show disrespect to me the voter, me got big mouth. If you don't respect me as just a human being, I've got a problem with that. But this guy didn't. He didn't respect anybody. Everybody was beneath him. So because he didn't fear the Lord, he's not going to listen to the word. So this woman keeps coming to him day and night, just nagging, nag, 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 about getting justice or vengeance for me. Then the justice, he said, hear what the judge says. Even though I don't fear God, nor do I respect any man, because she's wearing me down. Anybody ever done that with your kids? Okay, just do it. Because she's wearing me down, I'm going to grant her petition. Here's the problem. Proverbs 18:13 says, a man who hears a matter before, or who decides on a matter, this is paraphrased, decides on a matter before he hears it, it is folly to him. It's a shame to him. What's missing here, ladies and gentlemen? The defendant. He hasn't heard the other side of the story, and he has made a decision based on one side of the story. Because he did not fear God, he actually did injustice. We don't know what she was asking for. She might have had a beef against Richard. And Richard's like, I'm totally innocent. But because she was a widow and she felt wronged, she went to the judge and the judge says, I'm going to rule against him. So she'll leave me alone. So now what has he done? He's brought injustice to Richard. He didn't listen to the situation. Richard said, I dealt with her properly. I've done everything. I've been over backwards for her. And she's still not satisfied. So why did this guy do this? Because he had no fear of God, period. This guy was as total heathenistic as you can get. We're living in a society today that judges are elected on who they know, how much money they could generate for the campaign, how good they look in their black robe, how big of a law practice they build up. I know there are some good lawyers. I really do. I know there are, and praise God, we've got to have good lawyers. They've got to have a right interpretation of the law and stand on it. But not all of them are like that. You can find the ones. If you think you've been wronged, call me. I don't get paid unless you get paid. I know that sounds like a great deal. They're telling you, we're going to do whatever it takes, including distorting the truth. We are going to bend this story so that you look like you were wronged. Because they're going to get paid. Do you think they're paying $50,000 for a 30-second spot at midnight for nothing? It takes a lot of clients to get that. Or it takes just the right ones. Why? Because a lot of big corporations don't want to mess with it. Hey, they're suing me for $200,000. It's going to cost me $500,000 in legal fees. We'll just settle out. I read this morning, actually here in Ohio, where an Amishman has filed Chapter 7 over in Sugar Creek. I didn't know Amishmen were into investing, but apparently this one was. And he had $33 million of his investors' money and only had $18 million to show for it. Have no idea what an Amishman did with that much money. Because his assets were only showing a horse, buggy, and a bridle. That's what he showed. And apparently he lost his money. Again, I have no idea. I mean, the guy's 77. And he's filing Chapter 7 and trying to liquidate. Well, the community, the Amish community, which consists of about 2,000 investors, some of them are English, which is you and I. And they have decided, we want to do this biblically. And the guy decided, I want to as well. He wanted to keep it out of the courts. He wanted to pull his petition back, but the federal judge said no. He said, it's not the church's place to do my job. He's citing separation of church and state. And even the article talked about the exemption clause that's in the First Amendment. Can I tell you a little something? It's non-existent. That does not exist in the Constitution. It says the government shall not establish any religion nor hinder any religion. But it does not say that the church cannot say, whoa, this is a matter between us. We've decided to settle out of court. You tell me, somebody that fears God or not? I don't know. You got to listen. You'd have to hear the whole thing, but I personally would not want to be in his shoes. Because here you've got people who are trying to do it right. The Bible does tell us not to take a brother to court if they're willing to deal with it. You only take them to court when they say, I'm not paying you. Okay, see, that's one message that got twisted years ago. Somebody owes you money, you need to first off find out if it's going to be worth the battle. Because it's going to be a battle and it's going to be expensive. Personally, if I had to take somebody to court, they're going to pay for legal fees. I shouldn't have to do that. So now we've got a case very similar right now. But these people are wanting to do it God's way. They say it's against our religion to have done this to begin with. And I don't know who, but the judge is now stating because there are English involved who will more than likely not want to live up to that. I don't know. We'll see. I'll see how the. I'll probably never hear anything else about it. But that's a state that this country is in right now. We've got people that don't care what God says. David, he taught Solomon. You want to know why David or why Solomon was so wise? It's real simple, folks. Yes, God gave him that wisdom. God gave him a revelation of the teachings of his father. To fear the Lord and to love his commandments. The fear of the Lord is to love his commandments. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And again, I'm going to emphasize this, folks. We're not talking about a burning passion inside of you towards destruction of something. Okay? When we hear the word hate, everybody instantly goes into that. Oh, I hate that. And, you know, and their brow furrows and they just get all mad. And next thing you know, you can't control hate. Hate is, when God's talking about it, he says, I despise it, so I shun it. I stay away from it. I give it no attention. See, this has been a problem with the church. We think, oh, hey, we hate this so much, let's go protest it. I'll give you a good example. I don't remember when it was, but there was a movie called Showgirls that came out a few years back. And while it had nudity in it, the church, folks, the church, well, churches, got together and said, we've got to protest this movie. We're going to protest this movie. We want an NC-17. We want this movie banned. Do you know what they ultimately did? When you protested something, they said, oh, we need to go see what's in there. Do you know that movie is rated one of the worst movies ever made? But it grossed so high because churches got together and said, we hate that, so we're going to protest it. Instead of saying, we fear the Lord, and we're going to use wisdom in this. Lord, how do we go about this? And trust me, folks, the storyline in there, I have no idea what the storyline's about, but the storyline in there is no different than watching Desperate Housewives or any of the other garbage that's on TV today. It's the same story. But they had full frontal nudity. How many movies, how many of you have ever seen, I can't even think of the name of the movie, it had Sharon Stone in it back in the 80s. Friends of ours wanted to watch it, and I fell asleep. Basic Instinct. I mean, come on. That's a different thing, Pastor. No, it's the same thing. Your soap operas are the same thing. It's the same spirit of lust that's being stirred. Like I said, every time I'm reading movie reviews and it talks about top 10 worst movies, that one's in the top 10. And I'm thinking, but do you know how many millions of dollars it made? Because people in churches everywhere said, we hate this so much, we're going to put energy forth towards it. And they drew attention to it. Otherwise, that thing would have been a blip on the radar and gone. Yet it never heard anything. They had never made any more. I mean, it got such bad reviews, they've obviously, to my knowledge, never made a follow-up. But the church made it prosper because they exercised energy towards it. Energy that should have been going towards love. Instead of saying, you know what? We don't. Instead of getting up into churches and talking about it. How many congregants went out and watched that? Oh, well, we need to know what it's about. Yeah, you're no different than the witch hunters who would make the accused undress and search their body looking for moles. And then calling them the mark of Satan. Has anybody figured out moles just appear? You might be doomed just because you had a hormone imbalance the month before and boop, hey, looky there. I got Jupiter growing in my armpit. But that's exactly what they did. They exercised so much energy towards it, they caused something to prosper. So for us to hate evil does not mean we got to put energy towards it. It means we're to shun it. And we're to put energy towards loving people. And I say that first. You say, well, Pastor, loving God's the top commandment. Let's back up just a minute. Jesus said, there is another commandment that is equally as strong. And that is you got to love your neighbor as you do yourself. And if you can't love your neighbor as you do yourself, how can you love God in heaven whom you cannot see? Combination of two scriptures there. So, why do we exercise energy towards hate? There's lots of things I don't like. But you know what I do? I don't go out and protest them. I just don't utilize them. There's certain foods I don't like. But you don't see me out with a sign protesting. There's somebody that might like it. I don't eat sheep or fish head. I worked in a nursing home down in Columbus on a construction crew, and they had a lot of Africans in there that were orderlies, and I mean a lot of them. These people, most of them couldn't speak English hardly. One or two of them could speak English, and they were the translators for everybody else. But it got to a point even the administrative staff of the nursing home had to come in and say, you can't cook your lunch here anymore. You cannot do this. It was a combination of sheep or goat and fish heads. And it stunk that nursing home up to high heaven. And if you've ever been in a nursing home, it takes something to do that. You walk through there and it's like, oh man, I gotta go find somebody with a dirty diaper. That's how bad it was. We learned to say, you know what? This is where they're supposed to. Like I said, finally the administration said, you can't cook that in here anymore. You need to bring something different to lunch. Because it was pungent. Made our lunch a little easier when we ate there. But you know what we did? We learned to go down the road to Ryan's. If I have to, I'll drive down around the corner to Ryan's and eat my lunch there. If I have to. By the way, Boston will be gone an hour and a half now. So for us to fear the Lord means we need to be like the Lord. We need to obey His commands. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31, verse 10. It says, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of the release, at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now hold on. this was something that's very interesting. This was one of the charges against Israel that Jeremiah brought forth. Every 7 years, you were to be released from slavery. If you were in bondage due to debt, that's usually how it happened. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Debt and slavery and, okay. It's no different today. You're still a slave to the debt. Until the thing's paid off, you're a slave. Except in our society, the seventh year, you don't get released from it. And I kind of wish we did, but would we learn anything? Probably not. But they were not releasing the slaves in the seventh year. So let's say Gloria owed Joe over here a certain amount of money. Joe says, well, Gloria, you will work for me until that debt is paid. And I will pay you a little bit, which throws her further in debt, kind of like what the railroads did, or no, I'm sorry, the mine companies did. Oh, yeah, you can. Here's the company store. We'll give you money that you can only spend at our company store. It's going to cost you three times as much. But hey, you can keep working it off. You can bring your children into the mines. I come from a mining family. My grandfather died of black lung. And so, but Joe's over here, and he says, he's talking about Gloria and how good a worker she is one day. And I say, well, Joe, how much does she owe you? Oh, let's say she owes me $5,000. I'll tell you what, Joe, I'll pay you six for her if she's as good of a worker as you say. Well, Joe just made $1,000 on it, plus he's been getting free labor. So now she's indebted to me because I bought her debt. So now she has to work for me. But the problem is she's supposed to be released regardless of the amount owed. And this was of their brothers and their sisters. And this is talking family members, folks. You remember Elijah and Elisha? One widow said, my sons are going to be sold. This was of the house of Israel. And they were not releasing the people from their debt. The time of release. Every 7 years they were to be released. And if you got in more debt, you were a slave for 6 years. Now, at the Feast of Tabernacles, verse 11, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and a stranger who is within your gates. Who? The stranger. That's funny. God mentions a stranger again. Why? Because God wants the stranger to know the fear of the Lord. That they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law. And that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. Every 7 years they were to gather together, little ones, old ones, didn't matter, strangers. You all came in. If you were in the land of Israel, you were to be in church every 7 years, minimum. There's some people that still ain't making that. And they got, but guess what, folks? They read the entire law. They didn't have a preacher up here who moved around. They had a series of priests who would stand up and they would read the law. Actually, they sang it. If you understand the Jewish customs, they sang the word. To this day, they still sing it. But they were to read the law. Why? So they could learn to fear the Lord. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? How do you fear the Lord? They read what happened to Keith. Keith was in the desert and God did this. Keith had a problem and God moved. An enemy came against Keith and this is what God did to the enemy. What does that start to do to you and your little children? That's the best time to get to learn the fear of the Lord. I want to listen to God. Because when you're a little child, first off, it starts out in kind of the terror, right? Ooh, he's big. I don't want to mess with him. You know, all of us sons have gone, and I say sons because I'm not a daughter. I can't speak from the daughter's point of view. We all learned fear of our father the same way. When we were little, you know, when we're about yay high to him up on his thigh, we look up, okay, he's a big intimidating man. But when we got a little older, we're like, hey, you know, I'm as big as you are, and you start getting a little more spring in your step, start getting froggy. I think I can take the old man. We find out exactly how much the old man was holding back. I remember one time, my dad would always say, come on, frog, leap. Come on. And I just kind of circle him. I knew my, y'all want to know why I cheat? It's because my dad taught me to cheat. And I was, how old would I have been? Was I 17? I think I was a senior in high school. Which would have put my dad at 38. Okay, I was 17, he was 38. And I came up behind him. Thought I had him. You know, he was all the time saying, whenever you feel a frog, whenever you feel froggy, leap. And I thought, well, I got the, and I could get hold of him, and he wasn't going to get free from it. Except I wasn't planning on him playing the whole game through. And I jumped up behind him and I grabbed him. And he did something he hadn't done before. He stepped back, turned over, flipped me over his shoulder. I ended up on the countertop. Okay? Not on the floor, on the countertop. Let's say this is the countertop. This is my butt. The rest of me's hanging down here, okay? And not to mention, he always wore a watch, and he had to wear the metal ones. And man, we never wore shirts when I was at home, and that thing just caught me across the ribs. And as soon as I felt that thing digging, I was trying to get away from it, and it was too late. Dad had hold of me. I learned a new fear of the Lord, the fear of my father. The Lord of my household at that time. But see, it was only until I got a little bit older I got to thinking, hey, I'm big enough to take him. Now there did come a point when even my brothers wouldn't. I came back from boot camp, hey, I gotta show you this neat move they taught me. Man, 3 months before they'd have been all over that. I think I could take you, but now, no. And even later when my brother joined the army and tried to take me in the hallway, taught him a new respect of grab, twist, and pull. He let go real quick. Yeah. And if you can't twist and pull, just squeeze until their eyeballs bug out. But you see, upon hearing the things that the Lord had done, the children would learn. The stranger would learn. People who did not know. And people who had heard for every 7 years, for the last 10 times, for 70 years they've heard it. They would be renewed in their faith. God did this. Our sandals, our grandfather's sandals, did not wear out. And they were in rebellion. They were being punished. And God still blessed them. That taught them the fear of the Lord. That showed excuse me, shows me that God is a merciful God. That even in our punishment, He's there for us. He still made sure they were fed. Do you know what I would have done? I'd have said, all right, you're on your own for food. That includes your bread, your meat, and your water. Find it yourself in the desert, people. You got to understand, they literally were in the desert. Other places in the Bible talk about that no man lived there. There was nothing in that area. So if you can imagine walking around for 40 years with 2 million people, and there ain't no food, no sustenance, nothing to sustain you, you're going to possibly get hungry. But God carried them. See, He showed His mercy yet, so they would hear of the mercy of the Lord. He taught them to fear. Listen, you only fear the law, you really only truly fear the law when you've been pulled over. But the problem is, what did I do? Well, if you'd have been paying attention, you wouldn't be asking that question. Most of the time, when I've been pulled over, it's pretty much been a no-brainer. One night I ran a stoplight, bigger than snot. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Why is it red? Why did it wait till I got to it? I'm the only one on 161. Everybody else is smart. They're still in bed. And Bobby was with me at the time. I said, watch this. I didn't even make it to 71, and I was only 100 yards away from it. They were sitting over in a parking lot. What was it? Do you know why we pulled you over? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you ran a stoplight back here. What am I going to say? Oh, I didn't know. I knew it was wrong when I did it. I was just trying to get away with it. Do you think I've belligerently run any stoplights lately? If it's yellow, yes, I go underneath it. I go through it. Yellow does not mean stop. Because if I jam on the brakes, I could cause an accident. Because 9 times out of 10, there's some other nut behind me trying to get through it. If I do that, then boom, I just caused an accident. Guess who's getting cited? If we fear the Lord the way we're supposed to, we'll have respect. We'll understand, okay, there's a reason why there's that law. There's a reason why there's a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit in the school zone. Whether I think it's right or not. Now, I do think that they need to put up the times and go back with flashing lights instead of during restricted hours. What are the restricted hours? They're not posted. And if I'm on a motorcycle, I'm not looking at a watch. So how do I know when school's in or out? Oh, I know when it is. It's when the kids pull out in front of me. So, to fear the Lord is to love His commandments. As a matter of fact, let me see here. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We know this. Where do you think Solomon learned it from? Well, right here it is, written in the book of Psalms. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. David taught it to him. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. That's interesting. Obeying His commandments. You will have a good understanding of the fear of the Lord if you obey His commandments. Why? Because God will repay. Now, some of us should shudder at that, and some of us will rejoice at that. Ooh, you mean God's going to repay me for just because my neighbor made me mad and I went and poured Roundup in his flower bed? Yeah, God's going to repay you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Should be an easy rule to follow, you think? I think it is. Now, I know there's a lot of people that don't believe in doing practical jokes. Well, the Bible talks about coarse jesting, and you got to understand, that's talking rough that destroys. I love practical jokes. I worked with a guy one time that he was Jehovah's Witness. He was one of the best men I've ever met. Really is. He put others before himself. He would not lose his temper. And when he quit the job that we were working at several years after I'd left, I told Angela, I said, they did something. I said, that man would never lose his top. When his father died, he and his father farmed. When his father died, his sister somehow became part of the farm, and she decided she was going to run it. He said, you know what? You don't know what you're doing. And she didn't. He said, buy me out. He got out of it. He quit his job. He went to working for somebody else, and for 40, 50 years of his life, he had always worked on the farm. And he left to keep peace in the family. So, I mean, this was, like I said, he was one of the nicest guys. I know where he's at today. One of the nicest guys I ever met. But a practical joker like you would not believe. And he was all the time putting stuff in my dinner bucket, taping my dinner bucket shut, just doing all kinds of things to me. And so one day I thought, okay, I've got it. I've got a little bit of time on my hands right now. And if not, I'm going to make the time, and I'm going to get Chuck back. And we had clay. I was working at the gravel pit, and we had this brown clay that was coming in. We had to keep pushing it off. It was like molding, modeling clay. It had that consistency. Like I said, it was brown. So I got some, and it rolls so nicely. And I just made these nice cylindrical shapes, coiled them up, and set them in his dinner bucket. This is right after lunch, okay? I'm thinking, he's going to open that up, and he's going to see it, no problem. He didn't open his dinner bucket up. I don't know what the man drank the rest of the afternoon, but he never got back in his dinner bucket, and I'd filled that thing full. I mean, it looked like somebody went through a doggy park scooping it up. He comes back in the next morning. He was all excited, boy. He can't grab something. Artie says, I owe you, I owe you. I said, what? He said, when Marilyn opened my dinner bucket this morning, she screamed bloody murder. I said, what? I said, you didn't open your dinner. He said, no, I never opened it yesterday. My wife got it, and I got it. So am I a practical joker? Oh, yeah. Used to fill the welder's gloves full of grease. They'd lay over there. Some of you worked in factories with gloves. We'd just run over with a grease gun, fill all the fingers full. Or we had an expanding foam. We'd shoot their glove full of expanding foam and watch the thing expand. They'd do the same thing to us. We had fun. We'd shoot each other with cap plugs, which hurt. But anyhow, let me get back to the word. There we go. But Psalm 112, 1 says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. He says, blessed are you if you fear the Lord. In other words, if you love his commandments. Well, let me keep going. Who delights greatly in his commandments. If you take your delight in the commandments of the Lord, you will be blessed. And that's just talking about more than just being happy to be envied. Oh, I'm just so happy all the time. Let's keep going. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and righteousness endures forever. Those are the benefits of fearing the Lord. So does the Lord have a problem with you having wealth? No, he does not. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you fear the Lord, you're not going to have to worry about going off and just doing whatever you want with your money. If you truly fear the Lord, you will make sure that the widowed are taken care of. You will make sure that the orphans are taken care of. That's what you'll spend that wealth for. And guess what? The Lord says, when you lend to the rich, you're loaning to the Lord, and he will repay. So it just never stops. Why? Because you're operating in one of the principal laws that Jesus says, this summarizes all of the law, all of the prophets. It summarizes all of the Word of God. And that is to love your neighbor as yourself and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul. And if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul, your neighbor will never go hungry. There will never be a need for an orphanage because they will be taken care of. If you haven't figured out, state-run orphanages don't work. The state-run system of orphanages is worthless, to be honest with you. Why? Because the church does not truly fear the Lord. And the church that does was perverted. Well, there are children. Jesus said, hinder not the little children. He tells us if we don't become like children, we're not going to see heaven. So do you think God's got a heart for children? I promise you he does. And a church or a system that fails to remember that children are part of the apple of God's eye will see destruction. Do you think it's any wonder the Catholic Church has been in such problems lately? For years, they have turned their back on the cries of these people that said, we were abused. What are you doing about it? Well, we moved the priest to another part of the country. I'll tell you what you do with him. And I will only say that in the company of all men. I promise you there won't be another priest even thinking about raping a child. Well, pastor, sounds awful mean. Well, Jesus said tie a big rock around her head and throw him in the lake. But they're facing these problems now because they've not feared the Lord. Who are we? We don't fear the Lord. We're going to make whatever proclamation we want to make. That's the church today. Oh, homosexuality is no problem. And we wonder why there are young people today running around trying to figure it out. Well, it's because you got half of the church, half of the body of Christ coming out and saying, Jesus never stated what was right. Take the New Testament and set it off to the side because Jesus taught out of the old. The New Testament is the revelation of the old. It's broke down so us meatheads can figure it out. He didn't have to. As a matter of fact, he sent Paul. Paul said, don't you know homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of heaven? Neither will liars, drunkards, idolaters. He lists thieves, a whole bunch of things. And we sit here and say, oh, he didn't mean that. Come on, it's in the Old Testament. When it says, thus saith the Lord, we had really better take a listen. Paul never taught anything that was not already in the Old Testament. He just got a revelation on how to break it down to a modern generation. But our modern generation says, oh, hey, man, if it feels good, do it. Wasn't that the theme of the 60s? If it feels good, do it. Smoke it. Drink it. How many people have died because of that? How many people are dying now because of it? Something they did 40 years ago is now coming back to haunt them. Oh, it didn't bother me, Pastor. Not yet. That's why we need to be believing. We need to have our faith strong. There's all kinds of things going on in this world, and we say, well, why is that going on? Well, somebody did something. I watched a movie the other day, and this guy, he started getting this bad feeling. And he said, you know, I was just sitting here thinking. He said, before anything bad has ever happened to me, there was always a decision made just before that. He said, it wasn't necessarily the decision that caused the bad thing. He said, it was a decision before that. And in this particular case, they had picked up these two guys were heading to Mexico, and this boy tags along with them. He wants to go with them. And he's riding a very expensive horse, and he says it's his. And they're just about to cross into Mexico. And this guy says that. Well, when they get into Mexico, the truth of the matter is the boy turns out that he's like 11 or 12, and he's rebellious, and he won't listen. And he ends up getting somebody killed. Or actually ends up killing somebody. And so therefore, these other guys who were innocent of the charges get drug into it. Now, anything that's happened to us, I can promise you, was a result of a decision we made. Maybe not today, maybe it wasn't that decision today, but it was a decision made years ago. You know, for years, how many of you have probably known for years that you don't mix bleach with Lysol, right? And if you do, you don't stand around in it. Well, yeah, you don't mix anything with bleach but water. Well, you know what? I remember time and time again, guys in the barracks, where the dickens they got their brains at. Must have been odd lots. They would. They'd mix bleach to clean the bowl up and Lysol to make it smell good. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, when you see the vapors and the smoke filling the room, it's time to leave. And we'd have to go in and clean, get them guys out of there. But we didn't have gas masks. We'd go in just blame. I cannot stand the smell of bleach today. If I go to a pool, forget it. If they don't use the salts, I can't go in it. You can ask my family. I cannot stand the smell of bleach whatsoever. Why? Because of a decision I made years ago to do something. I was smart enough not to mix it. But my stupid roommate, the stupid guys next to me, and I say stupid because they knew better. They were told not to. Besides that, the bleach bottle says not to, right on the back of it, big warning label. But because, and I promise you, they're probably in the same boat today. They cannot stand this. I used to love the smell of white towels that were freshly bleached and clean. And I mean, just always smelled clean to me. Now, you can ask Angela, she does not wash my towels in bleach. Not chlorine. Can't stand the swimming pools. Just for that reason. Because of a decision made. Why? Well, because honestly, we did not fear what the manufacturer said. Who's our manufacturer? The Lord. We don't fear what he says about our living. What's going to happen? There's going to be recompense. We will have to pay for decisions made. You know, decisions like jumping off of barn roofs, popping wheels, jumping motorcycles, you know, jumping snowmobiles. Come on, I dislocated 3 or 4 vertebrae on that one. Why? Because of a decision made. Oh, I'm tougher. That's what we tell ourselves. I'm tough. You know, I pity these guys in the motocross field who jump these motorcycles and they do flips and all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah, it's cool. They're between the ages of 18 and about 24 years old, and then they're done. Because after they're 30, they're walking around like this or in a wheelchair. Because your body was not made to do that. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, while I would rather watch somebody else do the jumping, I'm going to tell them, you're going to pay for that. You will pay for what you're doing. It's going to come back and get you. That is why we pray for the mercy of God. Amen? Yes, amen. Crop failure. Lord, bring the Roundup. Let's take care of crop that I don't need. Take care of those weeds. God's word is true. More and more in our society, in this country, courts are trying to prove it wrong. Scientists are trying to prove it wrong. Philosophers are saying we're crazy. But what hope do they give anybody? Has anybody asked you why you believe? Well, you're crazy for going to that church. You're crazy for going to church. You're crazy to believe in a God. But who is it they cry out to in the time of trouble? On 9/11, who did the country cry out to? Churches were overflowing for about 2 months after that. Problem is, a lot of the churches weren't ready. Why? Because we were playing church. Oh, hey, let's all get together and we'll just have a good old council time. The only counselor in the Bible ever mentioned is the Holy Spirit. You want to come talk to your pastor? That's great. You're going to get pastoral talk. Not going to sit here and try to manipulate you. Put words in your mouth. Because the best decision made is the one you came to. And when you realize I'm in charge of my life, not my wife, not my children, not my husband, me. I'm responsible. I'm responsible for the decisions I make. I'm responsible for what I watch on TV. I'm responsible for what I listen to on the radio. And there is some bunk, junk, and just pure tea garbage. Joshua came home the other day and he says, "Dad, you got to hear this." I said, "What?" He said, this is the new hit. This is a hit." And I listened to it for about 10 seconds. I said, "You can turn." He said, "This is all it does. There are 20 million hits on YouTube on this stupid video, and it's nothing more than some guy going." That's, I'm serious. He sounds like he's got his mouth full of bread and he's mumbling. But it's a hit. Did people forget what music is? Oh, that's right. Music's supposed to have bleep words every 5 seconds. God did not create music for that purpose. That is a perversion. I like the songs that say, "Lift him up." I don't care if you got a screaming electric guitar, if you got a mandolin in it. And I like the bands that mix them both. You got a banjo and electric guitar going side by side. That's some pretty good stuff to me. It's just something about, you can't ever get away from bluegrass once you've ever been brought up in it. My mom listened to it all the time. My sister would testify to the fact. She drives my dad nuts still. I'm like, "Okay, Mom, I get it. I'm an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday." As a matter of fact, we used to harass her all the time about that. We'd just run around the house. She'd start putting that on, and somebody would go turn it off, and then we'd all just start singing, and "I'm just an old chunk of coal." We did it all in fun, and she laughed and had a good time as well. But we no longer fear the Lord in this country, in this world. Oh, we want to be like Europe. Europe does not fear God. Europe is about to face, you're going to see judgment start, and it's starting over there right now. These countries, are you paying attention to how many Middle Eastern countries and African countries are uprising right now? So you got Syria, Yemen, Libya, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Are you paying attention to this? Why? Because the people don't fear the Lord, and there's been unjust governments for years. You'll see something happening in Cuba very quickly. Why? Well, namely because Fidel Castro came out the other day and said, "I resigned 5 years ago. Why do you keep people keep..." You know what he just did? He just gave the Cuban people a reason to say, "We're sick and tired of communism. It don't work. We've been poor, we've been hungry since the 60s. Since you took over, jerk. Now you're out of here. You and your aging old brother." Why? They're tired of the injustice. Governments do not fear the Lord. And when they don't fear the Lord, injustice will be done. And God will overthrow them. I don't believe that the church will see this, but I believe this country will soon face this same thing. And God we trust is no longer our real national motto. It's just something that's put on coins, money, few buildings. They don't trust in God. They trust in themselves. For crying out loud, they kicked the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. What do you think our justice system is based on? Does anybody know who stands at the very pinnacle of the Supreme Court building? Has anybody ever paid attention to that? Who is that man that's standing in the middle? It's Moses, the lawgiver, a man of God. But this country says the Ten Commandments are offensive. Okay, let me see. Is this offensive to you, Rob? I shall not take my brother's wife? No. Or how about I shall not steal my neighbor's car? No. I shouldn't lie against my neighbor? No. Nothing wrong here yet so far. How is that offensive? But yet we try to say that slandering and libel are against the law. We try to say murder is against the law. Now when it comes to adultery, they skirt the issue. And I will tell you this, the military does the same. The military actually has a law against adultery. You can be brought up on adultery charges, but it's very rare that it's ever enforced. Why? Because 9 times out of 10, the jerk that's up on the thing is in the act himself, and he's not going to find you guilty. But yet, oh, he'll throw you in the brig for quick for calling him a name. There's all kinds of examples anymore today. But when a nation refuses to listen to the Lord, their days are numbered. Does anybody remember who the powerhouse was when the colonies were founded? England, right? They were the world power. They were the only world powerhouse. They had the best armies, the best navies. Does anybody understand the influence of England today? Yeah, minuscule. We're only talking a couple hundred years, and it's minuscule. Is it any wonder? Because in England today, the judges have ruled that if a thief breaks into your shed and gets cut on the wire in your window because you're trying to keep him out, he can sue you, and he will win. I had to read that one in print, folks, to believe it. I thought, how can you be so dumb? Do you know what you're setting people up for? Well, hey, if I'm just protecting my castle, I think I'd rather be a cut crook and run than a dead crook and buried in somebody's underneath somebody's shed. Call me goofy. I mean, if I'm going to be a crook, people will start figuring it out and they will take the law into their own hands. But injustice is what got England to begin with. They were charging unjust taxes and violating our freedom of religion primarily is why we separated. And because of that, England went right down. And here's another good. Most people don't realize this, but the whole monarchy thing, it's just a dog and pony show. So what if Prince William becomes king? King of what? King of Buckingham Palace, that's about it. He has no real rule. Parliament owns that now. So the entire monarchy has lost its authority because of injustice. Because they did not fear the Lord. Oh, we don't like what the church says, so we're going to start our own church. Anybody can do that. We didn't start this church because we didn't like what the... I like what the Word says. I don't want to live a life that says, you know what, all the archbishops got together and we've decided homosexuality is all right. No, it's not all right. Well, they can't help it. They were born that way. You know, Pastor Dosek helped me out on this one time. He was having an argument with God on an airplane. And he said, he had heard that. I was born this way. And he said, God, they were not born that way. Hold on. God told him, he said, they may have been born that way, but I did not create them that way. Why do you think, Bible says we're all born into sin. The reason you did some of the things you did is because you were born into sin. It was implanted in you already. If there is a lying seed in your family, you don't have to be around that person. It's going to pick up because you're the one that was susceptible to it and you picked up on it. The seed was there. The only thing that will stop this, folks, is if we turn and we cry out to God. I pointed out the other night that it would have only taken 10 people to have saved 6 cities, 4 surrounding Sodom and Gomorrah. 10 people is all it would have taken. And I've deducted that that was the household of Job. We know for a fact he had 2 daughters, or not Job, yeah, Lot. 3 letters that threw me. We knew he had 2 daughters that had never been with a man, and we knew he had sons-in-law. So he had more than 2 daughters, and he had more than 2 that were married. So that's why Abraham asked for 10. He was hoping at least the household of Lot would be serving him. And it was found out that they were not. Ladies and gentlemen, we can turn back. We can hold back the hand of judgment in this country. But we have got to hit our face. We have got to fear the Lord. We've got to teach it to our children. We have got to teach it in our churches. We've got to teach it in our families. We have got to live it. I'm not just talking about, oh, well, you know, the Bible says this, so we're going to try to do it. No, how about we quit trying a lot of things? Isn't that how people got hooked on drugs started? I'm going to try that. Oh, I'm going to try that little bit of weed. Oh, you know what? I felt a little funky. I don't see how anybody could stand to be high. I've taken painkillers that knocked me for a loop, and I'm like, I told Angela, I said, why does anybody like this feeling? I don't like this feeling. And then they start hallucinating, and they see things that aren't there. You know, a lot of times what happens, their eyes are opened up into the demonic world. They see the demons that are actually around, and that's what scares them. But they enjoyed the high, so they keep going back and back until they finally OD. If we fear the Lord, we will teach our children. We will tell them what God has done in our lives, folks. We will teach them what he did in their life. But we will tell them what he's done in ours. So many people think, I need to keep that a secret. What's your child going to do when they're dealing with the same thing and they think you walk on water? Can I tell you a little secret? I didn't want to graduate high school. I didn't care. I did not care about finishing school, period. Why? Here's the reason why. First off, I already knew my mother had dropped out, and I thought my father had. So I figured, why should I? All my aunts and uncles had dropped out of high school on that one side. Why should I finish? It wasn't until I'd graduated that I found out my dad actually had graduated, that I'd seen his senior picture. But I did not know that because nobody told me. All everybody told me was, get good grades or we're going to beat you. I already shared with you that I would take a beating. Teachers tried that. I'm like, hey, okay, let's go. Am I getting 2 or 3 this time? In the 4th grade, I always thought this was my position for the day. You think I'm kidding. I was out there at least 2 times a week. You could not beat me enough to make me do it. I think I developed calluses back there. However, if somebody had talked to me and found out why I didn't care to do it,